Let us pray. Eternal God, we feel your presence in this place as you stir our hearts and our minds to know you, to draw near to you, and to listen for what you have to say underneath and in between, above, below, and around these words of mine. But even so, Father, take these words and use them for your glory and the transformation of all of us. It's in the name of your Son, it's through the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. Do you not just love a parade? I surely do, because it means that something seriously amazing is coming down the road. I remember watching the nighttime Disney Parade of Lights. Kathy Woodley would be so proud of me. The Parade of Lights leads up to that amazing fireworks display over Sleeping Beauty's castle. And I remember the first time I saw it with my oldest son when he was 2 years old. As we watched the parade, several of the characters came up to him and shook his hand or gave him a hug or kissed him on top of the head. Nathan was in heaven. Disney characters were serious business to that child in his little world. And when we returned to Disney World a couple of years later with Nathan's younger brother, Colin, once again there was an amazing parade, and Nathan could not wait to introduce Colin to all his Disney friends. But this time, none of them came up to give Nathan a hug or shake his hand or kiss the top of his head during that parade. And my son was crushed. And tears streamed down his face as he looked at me and said, "Mama, they've forgotten me." He didn't know that this whole parade thing was not as serious for those characters as it was for him. For them, it was all lighthearted fun, but for him, it meant the world. Well, thankfully, when we saw some of the characters later on, they did pay attention to my son. He did introduce them to his brother, and all was well. Disaster was totally averted. But you know, it's a hard thing to take others seriously and not be taken seriously in return. But when we're all on the same page, oh, the joy that comes. And that's kind of the way it is with Palm Sunday, because back in the day of that first parade, though the people went through the motions of praising the Lord, they had no idea the seriously amazing thing that was about to happen. Passover was a holy celebration. It was the time when Jews from all over the known world would gather in Jerusalem to celebrate their salvation at the hands of the Lord as he took them from slavery in Egypt and across the dry riverbed as the waves of the Red Sea parted. And now, the people are looking for another Moses, another one to bring them back into power. They had had enough of this Roman oppression. I mean, God had led their ancestors into the promised land back in the day. Surely he's going to do it again. He would give them a Messiah. He'd bring them a Savior. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. But even in the midst, and that joyful anticipation and celebration, there was huge tension in the air. What you need to know is that according to Roman census, at a celebration of Passover 30 years later, they counted 2,500 lambs, I think. But regardless, what it ends up being is 2,500,000 people, because there was one lamb for every 10 people. That is a whole lot of oppressed people in one spot at one time looking for a Savior. And on this particular Passover, Pilate was so anxious that he came into town just for the event and brought extra soldiers to keep everything in check. Civil unrest was becoming the norm. And Roman oppression was becoming the response to this norm. And it was like a perfect storm. Because in the midst of the anticipation of the crowd and in the midst of the Roman oppression, here comes Jesus riding in on a donkey, the foal of a donkey. And with his arrival, an impromptu parade. Something amazing is coming. Could he be the one? Is this the one we've been waiting for? And so they cheered. And so began the most important week in history. It was a week that was to be taken seriously then, and it is a week to be taken seriously now, because Christ takes his beloved creation oh so seriously. He's committed to the world. He's committed to the humans that he loves so deeply, and he's so seriously committed to us that he was willing to set aside his divinity in order to become one of us. He was going to experience all of human life, yet without sin. The joys, the sorrows, the death of friends, the ridicule of his own family. Because at one point they thought he was crazy. He would be pushed aside. He too would be marginalized. People would question his abilities. Who do you think you are, Jesus? But he experienced it. And in spite of all of it, he loved. He loved unconditionally. And he continued to love so that we might experience the joy of knowing what it means to be loved in spite of us. Perhaps, he thought, some of us would get it. Some of us would take him seriously, and some of us would learn to love as God loves, completely, without strings attached, and with complete forgiveness and amnesia when it comes to remembering the wrongs we have suffered. God takes us seriously. And perhaps if we saw God in the flesh, we too would become serious about what we believed. Do you know, for 30 years, Jesus lived among us in anonymity? He was just some kid in Nazareth. He was just Joseph the carpenter's son, maybe. That was always open to dispute, too. But for 30 years, he lived humbly and quietly, just going through life. But then one day things changed. One day he left the carpenter's shop and he entered the waters of baptism. And as he came up out of the waters, the dove of the Holy Spirit alit on his water-glistening form, and the voice of God said, "This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved. And I am so well pleased." Jesus walked the dusty roads of Galilee for 3 years, and he never traveled more than 30 miles from home. Can you imagine such a thing? And look what's happened. And through his travels, he was surrounded by the poor and the needy. As he taught, as he healed, as he performed miracles, as he fed them, everyone was curious. Some just came for what they could get from him, but others came seeking to understand him. They were serious about what he had to say. They wanted to understand what it means that God has not forgotten us, that God seriously loves us, and that God will forgive us whether we take him seriously or not. Our God lives in hope that one day we will. And so God sent his Son. Who's going to take him seriously? Not the disciples. They vacillated constantly between thinking of him as a rabbi and friend and maybe a Messiah, but not the Son of God, not really God. anytime those words would come out of their mouths, they would walk them back, wouldn't they? Peter called him the Son of God once. We read it last week, and the very next breath he's saying, but you're not going to Jerusalem. They're going to kill you. If he's the Messiah, if he's God's Son, God knows what he has in store. And even in the midst of the doubters, Christ continued to love. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, we've studied how they felt totally threatened by his very un-PC teachings and lifestyle. Yet he was able to render them speechless with his responses to their criticisms and their taunts. And even so, those responses were always serious truth in love. Not condemning, just telling them what was true. And what they did with it was up to them. But maybe, just maybe, one day even they would take him seriously. He was serious about his love for all the world, yet no one truly understood how serious. And there was that lack of understanding. It was that lack of the ability of mankind to take him seriously that caused our Lord to weep. Jerusalem. Jerusalem, how I long to gather you as a mother hen does her chicks, but you will not. And why is that? Because they didn't understand and refused to take him seriously. So, one last time, God decided it was time to show humanity just how serious his love was. And it began with a parade. A serious journey to Jerusalem and death on a cross. You know, you have to really be serious about somebody in order to be willing to die for them, don't you? And that sacrifice that Christ made on the cross gives us a serious opportunity to make a serious decision. Do we really believe Christ is the one? The one who offers us life through his death? Or is a little man at the drive-thru at McDonald's who really thought, what did you say? A serious question.
Yes.
I paid him to say that to you. He knew it was important. He knew he had to ask. And he didn't care if there was a line at McDonald's. Christ is who he says. And we have to take him seriously. And be careful not to laugh him off, reserve him for Sunday, and skip down the road alone. But serious is not a buzzkill. Serious doesn't mean like living like a bunch of grumpy faces. Christ lived a joyful earthly life. Are you? What little child is going to climb up into a lap of a grumpy person? And they could hardly keep the kids at bay, and Christ told them not to because of such joy, such serious joy, and the need to come to Christ is what the kingdom of heaven is all about. Surely nobody was going to invite him to a dinner or a wedding if he's going to be a party pooper. He would go and celebrate life and relationship, and he was one who totally reveled in surprise. 5 loaves, 2 fish, you can't feed them. Watch this. And he blessed, and they were fed. And I am confident that God, Christ stood there grinning ear to ear at the amazement of the gathered. Christ loves people. He loves life. And he loves us enough to die. Because he takes his love and all of life so seriously. You heard this morning how seriously this church takes his commands to feed and to care for. Debbie was talking about going over to Franconia Elementary with all that food. What a joyful surprise, but it was a joyful surprise that was born of a need to take Christ's word seriously. And do you know what that principal said when they took that food over there? She said, "It is so wonderful to know that there is a group of people in our backyard that takes God seriously." We have had the opportunity to send joyful surprises to our missionary, Nancy Robinson, in Sierra Leone. She takes Jesus seriously enough to go far away to people she doesn't know, but people who know Christ and who long to share Him. And we are seriously, joyfully supporting her mission. We so seriously care about our community that we're planning a barbecue in June so that we can seriously build relationship with those that surround this place so that they will know they are loved and they are invited to be a part of us and walk the way with us. We take this seriously. We're going on a retreat to High Road, an amazing time of fellowship to take seriously and joyfully our opportunity to grow together as a body of Christ. It is a time set apart for serious joy. The bottom line is, as long as we are serious about our Lord and believe He's the Son of God, that He is the one who died so that we might be forgiven and free to live with reckless abandon in the light of His joyful love, we will live. We will learn. We will grow. And we will share this joy we have come to know so seriously with those who are serious, but not about the right thing. We will take our Lord as seriously as He takes us. And oh, the joy that comes when we're all on the same page. This morning's worship begins a very, very serious week. It's a somber week. It's a week when we take time for serious reflection and decision and recommitment to our Lord. Thank goodness Lent is over. And I pray that during the past 6 weeks, we have each taken serious time to consider those places in our lives where we've not taken Christ seriously, that we've been nudged to pray for the Holy Spirit's transformation, and that we have chosen to listen to His words of forgiveness and take His promise of new beginnings personally, seriously, because you see, Easter's coming. So that we can joyfully respond with a mindfulness to live in a way that the Lord has taught us to go. So as we go through this week, take this journey of remembrance of Christ's serious love for us seriously. Christ remembers us. Christ loves us. Christ forgives us. Christ longs for us to introduce Him to our brothers and sisters that haven't yet met Him. And if we take that seriously, there's some serious joy coming this Easter. It's the joy of the Lord and His resurrected presence among us. And to God be the glory. Amen.